might be more on the bad song side of the equation. That was a request from Michael from Saskatoon.
See, I was thinking that might, if a good bad song in the dictionary might just have a picture of that album.
The Buggles.
1-877-332-8255. Good bad songs. After a conversation and a heated debate in the Green Zone Lounge earlier about good bad movies, in which I debated Locker on the merits of Roadhouse.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Now here's the long and the short of it. I hate hockey and I don't like kids.
It's time to drop the clubs.
We're losing!
More guys, more teams.
They're burying us alive!
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Then I was like, actually, Friday face-off might have worked, actually, on that one. But Drew Remenda is here to talk that hockey and talk about Roadhouse as well, apparently.
Yeah.
Your take on Roadhouse?
You know my take on Roadhouse. It is the best bad movie in the history of cinema. There is no better movie to look at and go, this was terrible, but because they took themselves so seriously and put so much effort, so much star power into this movie,
100%.
And it was so corny that it is the best bad movie in the history of mankind.
You know what?
With a line like, and this kind of sets it all off for me, is pain don't hurt. Come on. How can you go wrong with a movie like that?
You're the bouncers. I'm the cleaner. The other thing that I will say to back up your point, Drew, about Roadhouse possibly being the best bad movie of all time.
Yeah.
We are getting like very few people sending them in because they can't get past Roadhouse.
Exactly.
Like people are stuck at Roadhouse. Like, how am I going to beat Roadhouse? Like, Sharknado doesn't beat Roadhouse.
No,
right?
Too campy. Sharknado's too campy. The thing about a bad movie is you have to have a movie that took itself really seriously.
Like Waterworld?
Waterworld, there was one.
That's just bad.
That's just bad. It's such a long movie. The great Saskatoonian, Kim Coates, is in that movie. Kim Coates has been Sons of Anarchy. He's in everything. You think about Kim Coates and Kim's everywhere. Kim went to Nutana Collegiate. And he was the president of Nutana Collegiate, you know, school council. And he lived up near Rolco. He lived up on Adelaide, I think, by the Exhibition Stadium. Captain of the football team. He just one day said, I'm going to be an actor. And he's been a very successful one ever since. He's in the new Walking Dead stuff. And he was in a Waterworld. But that movie was just, that was just way too long. It was a Kevin Costner movie. But when you look at Roadhouse, there's and Jamie, I text you a few lines today of Roadhouse that are my favorites. There's one line in there that we can't say on radio, but it's the big fight scene between Patrick Swayze and I can't remember the other guy's name, but the other guy says to him, I used to. Then he says something very derogatory to him, and then Patrick Swayze rips his throat out. that star, and he's been in everything. That other guy, he took his mom to that premiere, and when he said that line, which was his line, he just threw it in there. She wouldn't talk to him on the way home from the premiere. She was so mad at him.
That's a great story.
Release
the plot's ridiculous.
Sam Elliott.
What's that?
You're not talking about Sam Elliott.
No. Sam Elliott's the other good guy. No
the bad guy, the one that owned the like the company.
It was his underling, his backup, the guy who was the hot shot.
That's right.
Guy.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Owned the red 5.0 Mustang. Yeah.
There's so much beautiful stuff. Like the characters were over the. There was also a lot of unintentional humor. That was the other beautiful thing about it, Jamie, was that there was some funny moments that I don't think they thought were funny, where if they were at the premiere, people would have been laughing, and they were looking around going, hold on, that wasn't supposed to be funny.
Sheldon wants to put in Mars Attacks, by the way, on Best Bad Movie.
Mars Attacks, again, it's an attempt at being over the top, right? Like, that's the what Drew said was they were actually trying to make a good movie.
It was a 1980s movie, 1989, one of the last ones to come out in 1989. Awesome.
Yeah. When was it released?
1989, May 1989.
Okay, I was like,
I love that you know that.
Drew, Jumbo Joe, officially a San Jose Shark. I had one thought yesterday. I'm just going to say it out loud because the guys here thought it was funny. I'm like, Drew's was so happy. He's so happy Joe Thornton got a job with the San Jose Sharks that does not include the title color analyst. That is what's making Drew's life even happier.
Well, first off, Joe couldn't do what I do.
Well, he can't.
Couldn't do what Joe does.
Well, he couldn't dress like you, that's for sure.
Yeah, but here's the other thing I'll let you guys in on a little secret, is that he has not gone away. He's been on the ice. He hasn't. He's been on the ice every day with either before practice with the Sharks, and then he goes over to the Crew to practice. Hi, Rosie. Can I talk on the phone? Is it okay? No. Okay, you can't say hello. No. So he goes over to the Crew to practice because they're at the same rink, and he works with them. He's been around. He's at every game. He hasn't gone away. He said this was years ago when he was still playing, and he said he was never going to not be in hockey. And I said, okay, when you retire, what are you going to do? He goes, I'm going to be the traveling secretary, assistant to the traveling secretary, like George Costanza. He said, I'm just going to hang with the guys. He loves the game. He loves the team. He loves helping these young players. You know, Macklin lived with him this year.
That's not the first time he's done that, too, right? No, like, for years, he's taken on the young guys at the house and stuff, right?
Yeah. He brings in everybody. He's, you know, one of the things that people didn't understand about Joe is, even though he was not easy to play with, and he admits this, and so does every guy that ever played with him, and at his retirement, his jersey retirement number this year, he admitted, and everybody else did too, he was not an easy guy in the room. He would hold you accountable. In some ways, it wasn't very nice the way he held you accountable. But he's a competitive son of a gun. He loves the game, loves the organization, and we're a better team now because he is full-time and staying with us.
The schedule came out, and of course, everybody goes and starts looking and scrolling through. And I imagine you did the same thing, right? Like, okay, what games? Where am I going to be here? La 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 la. Is there anything from it? I mean, everyone's talking about the Marner return to Toronto, Taves going back to Chicago,
and how dare they not put it on Hockey Night in Canada?
We play them right off the bat, right? The first game, as a matter of fact. There's not much. I used to, when I was coaching, I used to look at the whole thing and think to myself, oh my God, how the hell are we ever going to do this? And that's back when we flew commercial. And you wondered, how are we going to get from here to here? But I don't look at it much now as far as how colossal it is, because it is 32 teams and 32 cities and neutral site games. And how do you fit all this stuff in? You look at it and you just think to yourself, and that's why I think coaches, you know, break games up or break the season up in 5-game segments. We used to do it for bonus purposes, and now it counts against the cap, so you can't do that. So you just break it up in 5-game segments, and you look at it and go, okay, there we go. There's where we start. Where do we start? Where do we go from here? There's a couple road trips where I look at it and go, oh, that's going to be an interesting one. You know what I mean? We'll see how that works. And I always end up, I always look at a couple of things. Number one, where am I on Valentine's Day? Where am I on Michelle's birthday? And where am I at the end of the season? And so this year, for the first time in a long time, I'm home for Valentine's Day because it's the Olympics. And so we'll be home. Not home, but I'll be, because I got Barracuda games to do. But also on Michelle's birthday, for the first time, she's actually we're actually in town and we're not playing. So I'm going to finally be a good husband. Overall, when you look at it, guys, it's if you look at it in its totality, it just becomes too much to look at. So you break it up. That's all.
The one thing I was looking at was Ryan Reeves, October 9th, Sharks home opener against Vegas Knight. Who does he fight?
Is there anybody on Vegas to fight?
Is Hagen there?
Hag?
The only problem, I think the only problem with Ryan Reeves, he's at that stage now in his career where he's going to go out and have to start it because not many guys are going to go looking for it. What's his name? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If somebody, the first, I'll tell you who he fights. The first guy who touches Macklin or Will. or Misa, if Misa's playing. The first guy that goes near him, like last year, Utah, I thought they employed a very smart way. They were very physical and on, and very much on the edge and sometimes over the edge with Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith. And Macklin and Will aren't that big. So we didn't have that guy out there. We had guys who would stick up for them, and they'd stick up for themselves. But now you've got Reeves on the bench. You kind of got that nuclear deterrent. So the first guy that kind of crosses the line with them, Ryan will probably have a chat with him.
Drew, before we let you go, I know you wanted to remember someone near and dear to the San Jose Sharks family and late Habs goaltender Wayne Thomas.
Wayne was, he came and joined us in our third year in 1993-94, the first year we made the playoffs after a 71-loss season. We had a rookie head coach that year. We had two rookie assistants. We had a two-year assistant who was a video coach slash assistant coach going into our third year in our brand-new building with all these veteran players, and Wayne Thomas was the other guy, a veteran player, Stanley Cup champion, a guy who had a ton of experience, a man who, when he spoke, he didn't speak very often, was very thoughtful, was very insightful, and sometimes really dryly funny. Like, he was terrific that way. He and Barb, his lovely wife, brought so much to our organization. Stayed with the Sharks for 20 years as a goalie coach, as assistant general manager. You name it, he did it for us. And I said this to Eric Stevens from The Athletic, is that he was a gentleman in hockey. And a gentleman these days, is a man like that these days is very rare find. And he fought cancer as hard as he could. But unfortunately, that damn disease just takes too many people from us. But Wayne was one of the good ones. And I urge you, if you're looking at kind of how the waiver wire started and all that kind of stuff, look up Wayne Thomas's career, because it's very unique and interesting. But he was also a very unique and interesting and outstanding human being.
Well, our condolences to the San Jose Sharks family, the Thomas family. And Drew, thanks for your time. And Rosie can say hi now if she's near the phone.
She's gone now. She's on center outside.
She took off.
I'm not sure. Okay. It's center outside with her mom.
Okay.
Well done on Wayne, Drew.
Thanks. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, Drew. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye. That is Drew Remenda, our NHL analyst here on The Green Zone. As we continue, the fan free-for-all coming up. Open line time on a Friday. Anything goes if you're pondering how the Riders are going to do against the BC Lions, how the Toronto Blue Jays are going to do in the second half of the season, or if you want to weigh in on our good-bad movie debate or good-bad music debate. It's open line time right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. He might blow up and kill this man. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. We're asking for your choices on what you'd consider good, bad songs.
Darby sent that one in. By the way, we just got a bunch of good, bad movies that came in that I can't argue with. Point Break from Neville. Perfect. Red Dawn, Sean.
Point Break?
Point Break. Good, bad movie. Keanu Reeves.
That's just a good movie.
No, it's a good, bad movie. I love that movie.
Exactly.
I might like that as much as Roadhouse.
Because it's just a good movie.
Dean, Days of Thunder. Another one that came in was Karate Kid from Cameron. That's a good, bad movie.
No. That's just, again, a classic movie. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill.
Greece.
The latest in sports.
Whoa, now. Grease is a good, bad movie. That works. Tony sent that in. It's another good, bad movie.
Grease might be a top 10 movie ever made. Okay, the latest in sports. Sam Emelis is in the lineup for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So is Tavon Campbell. Out is left tackle Daniel Johnson and Mario Alford, as a couple of rookies will make their CFL debuts. Darius Washington at left tackle. Dre McCray returning kicks. Bombers and the Calgary Stampeders highlight Friday night schedule in the Canadian Football League. Jays back at it tonight. In just under an hour, first pitch in Toronto as they start the second half of their season after the All-Star break. And that group of kids from Regina, Moose Jaw, 14-under team, undefeated 4-0 after a wins over Puerto Rico and Mexico. They have made the playoffs, of course. That starts tomorrow. Fan free for all next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. 500 more is Is this a good bad song?
Yes! The Scottish Proclaimer voice!
That's just a good fun song.
No, that's it. Sure, it's they can fun. Be fun. They can be fun. That's Owen from Saskatoon. You're right, Owen. Good bad movie.
No, song. That was a good bad song.
Sorry.
Not a good bad movie.
Okay, hold on.
We
had Heat come in as a good bad movie, and I was like, I don't think that one works. I will bounce it off of Jamie to see where he sits with it.
Isn't that some...
It's too good, though.
Some put it up there as like one of the greatest.
I would too, John. I don't think that works. But
we've got the answer.
We got a contender for Roadhouse
as the best good bad movie or movie series of all time. Army of Darkness, says Terry from Estevan.
Oh my God! Ring a bell. Someone ring a bell. Where's the bell?
Do we have a bell? I don't think we have
ring
a bell.
Ding. That was perfect.
Oh, I took your bell away. Remember? You had a bell, and I took it away because it was annoying. So I took it away. That's where the bell went.
You hit the bell on me, and I'm still upset about it, but that's another
conversation. I forgot where I put it, so sorry about that. I owe you a bell. But good bad movies, 1-877-332-8255. It is a fan free-for-all right now. Anything goes, as you can tell by the last 3 minutes of the show and what we've been talking about. We're having a good Friday afternoon. We're having some fun. You're probably picking the kids up from their day camps and everything else, heading home for the weekend, barbecue, and maybe you're listening out at the lake. Thank you for joining us.
Grabbing
out at the farm, finishing up some of the chores at the farm maybe this afternoon so you can watch the Calgary Stampeders and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers on Friday Night Football. So,
maybe
what do you
paddling
want to talk
in
about?
A lake or a river somewhere?
Paddleboard or a canoe? 1-877-332-8255. What about Jaws? Keith says, "What about Jaws? Is a good bad movie? Does that qualify?"
Oh, that's a tough one. It's good. I think that might work. That's on the cusp, but no. I think that. Is it too good?
I think it's like the first horror movie classic ever.
It was the first summer blockbuster. It was 1975 that came out. I know that because they just celebrated the 50th anniversary of that movie, the release of that movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's a borderline good bad movie.
Bloodsport, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, who's
from Robin?
Okay, that works. Anything with Jean-Claude Van Damme in it, because he thought he was attempting to try to do good things.
I have to go to the Google machine on this. I think my wife watches this. The Princess Bride? Who's in The Princess Bride?
The wrestler. The peanut. Do you want the peanut? Andre the Giant. The Princess Bride, I don't know if that, does that work? That's a cult classic. I don't know if that's a good, bad movie because that's a very good movie. I don't think that works. I
got to
remove that from the list.
332.
I'm sorry. I got to make a call and remove that one from the list.
5-5.
Oh, yes. Here's a good another one. We're talking good, bad movies, and here's why. Just as a little
reset for y'all on where did this come from.
Todd?
Earlier in the day.
That nailed it.
We were talking about Donald Trump having a UFC fight on the lawn of the White House to honor the United States 250th. Nothing says America like an octagon in the middle of the White House lawn. But anyways,
just outside of the Rose Garden.
And there was some hints of like maybe Conor McGregor, because again, nothing is more American than a drunk Irishman who wants to fight people, I guess. So, and then Conor McGregor was in the remake of Roadhouse, and That's the best good bad movie of all time, and I went, that's just a bad movie. Then we got into a bit debate in the Green Zone Lounge on what are good bad movies. But a text just came in. This is a movie that every time it is on television, and I haven't seen it in a while, I am watching it. Kevin Bacon, Tremors.
Is that? I haven't seen that.
What?
Okay, what? I'll write it down.
You have never seen Tremors?
No. What is it? Is it? It's a horror movie, though, right?
It's like, it's kind of like Jaws, but in a desert with a weird beast. That's okay. What it is.
Is that a good bad movie? I don't know that one.
I think it's a great bad movie.
I thought you were going to go with Todd's Big Trouble in Little China.
I've never seen that.
Oh, that's a good bad movie. That Todd, that's a, you just stroked that one out of the park.
1-877-332-8255. Sheldon says Top Gun.
Top Gun works. Okay, that works. The original Top Gun is a good bad movie.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to him. I haven't seen
1-877-332-8255.
Napoleon Dynamite, that kind of works. Although you're going to upset a lot of people because that's a lot of people's favorite movies.
Napoleon Dynamite, for me, is just hilarious. It's not a good, bad movie. It's just hilarious. I find that movie fascinatingly funny on the characters. The script writer, everything about from Uncle Rico, I can throw it over the mountain, like the quarterback glory, like
the problem
to the tots, to everything about it. La Fonda, it's all.
I had people.
I'm watching it tonight after the Bombers Stamps game. I'm watching Napoleon Dynamite for a laugh this evening.
I had a lot of people trying to convince me that Napoleon Dynamite was like this masterpiece, and I
vote for Pedro.
So I watched that, and the problem with that one was I hadn't watched it.
Yeah,
and then I was like told by a lot of people this is the best movie. Like it's brilliant on so many levels. And then I sat down and watched it, and I was like, what is this?
No, they oversold it to you.
So then I was disappointed. So yeah, that's exactly what happened with that movie. Kingpin, where do you throw that into the mix of the good bad movie conversation?
That's just it's a great comedy.
It's a good bad movie. I think that one works as well.
1-877-332-8255. But I think Army of Darkness is a great challenger for Roadhouse. Bruce Campbell.
That might be the closest that we've gotten
like the
to
Evil
a
Dead
Roadhouse
series.
The first one, take it out because it was. Too much, like when it got sticky, that's when it got good bad.
As we continue here in the Green Zone.
I love that series.
Yeah. Has anybody seen Brazil? Am I the only person who has ever seen Brazil ever?
What's that? Is that a movie?
Yes.
Is that good bad?
It's something. Robert De Niro's in it. It is. It's kind of like 1984 Brave New World-ish stuff going on. It's fascinating. I watched that as a younger person. Then I watched it like 10 years later, and I think it got better. 1-877-332-8255.
The Big Lebowski just came in. That's another one that got oversold to me. I'm sorry. I've never been a Big Lebowski fan. That one, I don't know if I would put into the good, bad movies. Maybe.
All
Hot Fuzz is just a good movie.
Don't think I've ever seen it.
Hot Fuzz is with that British comedy duo. The guy from Mission Impossible and his sidekick. Is that the one that, correct me if I'm wrong, James, is that the one that turns into a zombie movie? Hot Fuzz? Anyway, we can move on.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. It's open line time, fan free for all. Anything you want to discuss. Maybe you want to talk about the Riders and the BC Lions. I don't know. Maybe that's a thing. as the Riders go to BC. Some roster changes. Sam Emelis is back in the lineup, so adjust your fantasy lineups accordingly. And tonight you got the Bombers and the Calgary Stampeders. Blue Jays' second half of the season gets going tonight, actually in a couple of minutes. We've been asking you on the text line, how far do you think the Jays are going to go? It's a rant. There's some people are like, plan the parade, baby. They're going all the way, World Series. Some are going, I think they'll have some success, but the John Schneider's going to hold them back. Some people think they're just going to fall off the map.
We got a text from Johnny O about 35 minutes ago. Sorry we didn't get to it right away, Johnny. Jays are in it to win it, and he thinks if they can bolster up the bullpen that they've got a good chance of making a run at the at October ball. We got to get past that first wild card game is the issue with the Jays, right? And I think if they make a couple of small adjustments, small tweaks, this is the year. Although I was thinking that before Boston went on a complete tear. But the Yankees are beatable this year.
All right. As we continue here on the Green Zone, the fan line is open. Greg wants to go back to the good, bad movies. Greg, what do you think is a good, bad movie?
Commando with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That works.
A lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies might fall
Most
into the good, bad.
There was so many mistakes in that movie. Like when he's telling Sully, let me remind you, I'm holding you with my weak arm, and you can see the cable. Or when the Porsche crashed. And it drove away, and it was perfect. Like, so many mistakes in that movie.
Cobra. Cobra with Stallone was another one where there was a whole bunch of mistakes. Did you ever see that one?
Yes, and it was, again, a classic.
That's a classic. That's a good, bad movie. Cobra works as well.
As we continue here on the Green Zone, open line time. Is it Christopher? Is that who we got on the line? Christopher, what do you think? You want to flip over to the Riders. What do you want to see tomorrow against the Lions?
You know, I just wanted to ask you guys thoughts. And by the way, thanks for taking my call. I love your show. But, you know, why don't we ever see the classic I formation anymore? I mean, the Riders are sitting on such a stable of running backs. And, you know, I'd just love to see Willette and Kadeem Carey, like, you know, in the backfield together. And, you know, both of them catch really well, too, so it's kind of like they're two-way players for me. To me, it's like just an obvious opportunity, especially with so many broken receivers. So that's kind of what I was thinking.
Well, Chris, I'll tell you, someone actually asked head coach Corey Mace that the other day about, can we see with the running game going to like two-back set, Ouellette and Carey in the backfield? And as the question was being asked to Corey Mace, you know how a guy kind of has that smirk on his face a little bit,
yeah,
like body language, and I went, and he's like, "Yeah, we'll see," with kind of a wink. So he doesn't want to disclose anything, but there's definitely, I think, something brewing with Ouellette and Kadeem Carey.
There's a case to be made as well, too. Correct me if I'm wrong. Where you don't want to let everybody look into the whole tool bag at the beginning of the season. No,
nope, you don't want to. But maybe this week. We'll see. 1-877-332-8255. This is the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. From good, bad movies to good, bad songs, that's the bad song.
Terry from Saskatoon sent that one in. I would agree. That is a good, bad song.
That's a good, bad song or just a bad song?
It's a good, bad song.
1-877-332-8255. Sorry, was that sigh audible? Yeah. Our game of the night, we're going to take you to Winnipeg, Manitoba for the game of the night. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers trying to get revenge against the Calgary Stampeders. Both teams with one loss so far this season. Kind of a battle for first. The Riders right in the mix, of course, going up against the BC Lions tomorrow.
You got Winnipeg?
I do have Winnipeg beating the Calgary Stampeders tonight. Sam Emelis back in the lineup against the BC Lions. He's missed the last 3 weeks. Tavon Campbell missed last week. He is also back for the Rough Riders. Kickoff tomorrow, 5 o'clock, the Green Zone pregame show at 3. The Blue Jays get back at it Tonight, in actually a couple of minutes, first pitch against San Francisco. Scotty Scheffler is leading the Open Championship at 10 under par with a couple of birdies coming in for Scheffler. He leads going into the weekend. And that flag football team from Regina Moose Jaw, perfect 4-0. The playoffs begin tomorrow. They will play Germany Saturday morning in the quarter final.
I want them to play the American team on the other side that wins. That's what I want. I want to see how that matchup goes.
Coming up, Julio Caravata to preview the Lions and the Riders on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.